Okay, today's daf is Trumas in the 10th Perek, Daf Tzadi Hei. Daf Tzadi Hei in Perek Batzal She Nosnu. And we are on Daf Tzadi Hei Man Aleph, Rafa on top. And we spoke about the Mishnah yesterday that discusses pickling. And you have soaking. We spoke about olives that are being pickled together, Truma and non-Truma olives. And the Mishnah we had on Amud Beis was about fish. You have kosher and non-kosher fish that are pickling together. So the Mishnah spoke about what's the halacha with the brine? The liquid that it's soaking in, does the brine absorb from the non-kosher fish? So the Mishnah said, well, it depends on how much. So the Mishnah said, if there is non-kosher fish, the weight of 10 zuzim of Yehuda, which are 5 slum of Galil, basically a tiny, tiny percentage, which we said, which we'll see in the Gemara today, if the non-kosher fish is 1/960 of the brine, so then it's usser. And anything less than that is okay, which we said is a tiny, tiny amount, much, much less than shishim. But we said that's because it's davar charef. Davar charef, you have a much smaller amount that's going to usser. So the Tanakhama said 1/960. And Rabbi Yehuda says a revius, which always means a revius alug, revius in 2 sa'ah. In a barrel that's 2 sa'ah. That's what we said before, that in the first day also. And that is going to end up being 1/192, right? That was the Yashir, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi said 1/16, right? Those were the 3 Shiurim that were given in the Mishnah for the non-kosher fish's ratio to the fish brine in the barrel, right? And we didn't even get into the fish, right? The fish, that's what the Gemara spoke about. Gemara quoted the Brisa, and we had the 2 Brises at the end of yesterday's Shiur. One Brisa says Mutter, one Brisa says Asur, and we said, well, it depends if you put the fish in at the same time or not. If you push the fish in at the same time, simultaneous, that's better. Why? Because when you put it in, each fish which is whole, absorbs the kosher fish brine, and then spits out, expolates the whatever's in and out, and it does not absorb again. So that's why if it's simultaneous, then it's like we said, like the whole olives in the previous Mishnah, then it's mutter. But if it's one after another, that's worse, because let's say you put in the non-kosher fish first, the fish brine becomes not kosher, so then when you put in the kosher fish afterwards, the first thing that it does is that it absorbs fish brine, which is now not kosher. So that's why one after another is worse, and the Gemara quoted our Mishnah as a raya, that there's a difference between simultaneity and one after another in this context. So obviously many differences in other areas of halacha between simultaneity and one after another. In Asi Dochalosa say, just as an example, it has to be simultaneous and not one after another. Okay, that was all part one. So now let's get into some of these details of the numbers. Where do you get 1/960 from? Where do you get that from? So the first problem the Mefarshim talk about here, we're on the top of Tzadi Haman Aleph now, Kol Garav Shemachzik Sasayim. So he said any barrel that holds 2 sa'ah, so if the non-kosher fish is 1/960, the question is, the problem is, a sa'ah is volume. A sa'ah of grain, the sa'ah is a measure of volume. And what does the Gemara say? Any non-kosher fish, that is the weight of 10 zuz. 10 zuz, zuz is weight. So we're comparing weight and volume. How are we putting those two together? There's weights and there's volumes. Those two aren't comparable. So that's the problem here, right? Weights and volume. So you have to say that it means, even though sa'ah usually means volume, here it means the weight of 2 sa'ah. The weight of 2 sa'ah of water, that's what we're going to compare it to, right? So you have 10 zuz, the weight of 10 zuz, in Yehuda, but the weight of 10 zuz as a ratio to that of 2 sa'ah of water. So how do you determine that weight? So here we go, a couple of measurements. In the first half of Amud Aleph today, we got a little math. So says the Gemara, Kama sa'sa avda, how many zuz in 1 sa'ah of mayim? And then we're going to figure out the measurement of 10 zuz to 2 sa'ah of mayim. So how many sa'ah of this? How many zuz in 1 sa'ah of mayim? So esrim v'arba lugin, 24 lug. If you know in a Talmudic math, there's something called Kaskalov Yagodu. Right, Kaskalov Yagodu, if you write it out, Kaskalov, if you write out the letters Kuf, Aleph, Samach, Kaf, Lam, and Beis, and you put underneath, in between those letters, called Yagodu, so that's the ratio. So for example, you have a Kuf and the Aleph on top, and you have a Yud in between them on the bottom. That means 10 Eifa in a Kav. right? And the next ones are Aleph and Samach. It means three Sa'ah in the Eifah. So it helps out in the math. In the math of measurements. So here, 24 lug in a sa'ah. There's 24 lug in a sa'ah. That's what the Mishnah said, the Gemara says here. Esrim va'arba lugin. How much? We're trying to figure out one sa'ah, because then we're going to try to figure out two sa'ah, which is the size of the barrel, and then we're going to figure out 10 zuz in the two sa'ah, what the ratio is. That's the goal of what we're trying to do here. So how many in one sa'ah? So 24 lug. So you have 24 lug, in one sa'ah. Vikama luga avid. And in one lug, how much water is there? Tartin litrin, 2 litra, not liters, 2 litra. So what do we have so far? One lug is 2 litra of water. So 24 lug, right? 24 lug is in one sa'ah. That's what we just said. So one lug is 2 litra of water. So 24 lug is 48 litra of water, right? So we have 48 litra of water in one lug. Vekama litra of the, and the weight of 1 litra, mea zunin or zuyin, it means zuzin. That means the weight of 1 litra is 100 zuz. So 48 litra, right? Because we just said 48 litra, right? 100 zuz in 1 litra. 48 litra is obviously 4,800 zuz. So the weight of 4,800 zuz is in one sa'ah, that's equal to one sa'ah of water. That's what he said so far. So again, how do we get there? 24 lug in one sa'ah. That means 40, right, we didn't get to two sa'ahs yet. 24 lug in one sa'ah. And in every lug, there's 2 litra of water. That means there's 48 litra of water in 24 lug. And there is 100, the weight of 100 zuz into 1 litra. 48 times 100 is 4,800. So now, two sa'ah, which is what we're trying to get to, is times 4,800 times 2 is 9,600. 9,600. And what do we say the measurement is in the Mishnah? 10 zuz. 10 zuz to 9,600. That's 1/960th, as we said yesterday. Nimsa kol zein vizin achas mitesha meos. So 1/960. How did we get there? We just did 3 or 4 computations with the litra and the zuz and the like. Hori Rabbi Yossi, and then we have one more line here. Hori always means Hora Leheter. Hora Leheter. Hori Rabbi Yossi Barbun. Rabbi Yossi Barbun matired be'achbara. That's a crucial word. Be'achbara chad le'elef. Rabbi Yossi Barbun matired 1 in 1,000. Really, because what do we say, what is good? 1/960. So 1 in 1,000 is even less than that. So that's why he matured a case of 1,000, 1 in 1,000. He matured that the kosher, that the brine didn't become not kosher from the not kosher fish. Right? He matured that in that case. What does the word ba'achbar here mean? So ba'achbar, usually achbar means a mouse, right? Some type of rodent. So if you say that's what it means, Rabbi Yossi matured a mouse that fell into some type of something, 1 in 1,000. And it was batel in that case. So that's what the Marafolda says. Achbar tzorch lavalo echad be'elf. What does that mean? What is this doing here? Maybe it's talking about, 1/960th is close to 1,000. So we'll mention this one too, that it's, 1 to 1,000. 1 second. An achbar is what we call a birya. A whole item. A whole item. So we have a principle that a birya is not batel. Right? There are a number of items means a rabbanon that's not batel. Bittel is a concept daraisa. But then we have devastation matirin is not batel. We discussed that a little bit in the last year. Chaticha haru'uya lehizkabed. A nice, significant piece of steak. Right? That's not batel. And we have birya. Hol simin shulchan aruch. Simin kuf, 100. Simin kuf in Hilchos Tarovis is the laws of birya. A birya is not batel. And we've come up a long time ago that in Rishonim apply that, which appears in the Gemara, even though it appears by Issa v'Hetter, Rishonim applied that to, let's say, other areas like Hilchos Brachos. If I eat one whole grape, do I make an al ha'etz v'al pri ha'etz after eating one grape? Because after all, one grape is less than a kizai is, but it's significant, like birya. Do you say birya even by brachos? Or is it something only by Isurim? That's why the Shulchan Aruch, Tosfos has the suffix about it. The Shulchan Aruch says, very unusual, Shulchan Aruch says, he advises us what not to eat. Don't eat one grape. If you ever eat grapes, eat at least 2 grapes. 2 or 3 grapes, so you don't have any suffix. Because one is really a suffix of a birya. But the source of birya, which for sure it applies, is by Isurim Heter. So the Shulchan Aruch The title of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf, there's always a title for every Siman, unless it's one Siman, and then one Sif, and then it just says, Ubo Sif Echad. Right? But if it's more than that, then it usually has a title. So what's this title? Birya Afilu Be'elef Lobatel. That's the title of the Shulchan Aruch. So what's he alluding to? And he says that halach in Sif Aleph. Birya, dehainu, kagon namala, you have an ant. Of tame or a non-kosher bird. Vigir anasha. A gid anasha is also a whole gid anasha, a whole nerve. So again, what the definition of bittel is not for us now. Ve'ever menachai, ubeitza, sheish be'efroach, v'chayotze behem, afilu be'elef lo batla. Even in 1,000 is not batel. Ve'ein lo din birya elam kain, and it goes into the details of what birya is. Says the Gra here, he quotes this from various Rishonim, and then he says, delo kaharash v'harashba. Delo kaharash, perik yud de trumos, v'harashba b'toras abayis. Shekasav de betela b'tav kuf samach. Right, what is that? 960th. Shemi masnisen sham kol grav. Right, if you read this Gra without knowing what we know, we think what the Gra is talking about. Ubi Yerushalmi Sham, Kama Sasa Avda, Chavdala Lugin, Kama Lugin Avda, Beis Litrin, Vekama Litra Avad, Meyazuz, Vechulu, Rebun, Ba'ach Parachad Le'elef. Vekasav Arash, Maisa Shaya Kachaya, Aval Huadin Lo Tatav Kuf Samach. It was a story of 1,000, but it's really 1/60. Visover, right, and he quotes here, Vekasav Arash. What's going on here? So is this Gemara telling us that even though Birya is not Batel, but it is Batel in 1,000? It is Batel in 1,000. Is that what Rabbi Yossi Barbun is saying? Ba'achra chadla elef? That's what the Rashba says. If you look in the Rashba, in Torah Sabayis is the Rashba in Yerodea. This is in Bayis Revi Shah Rishon, on Yud Dalad Amabes. Says the, quotes our Yerushalmi. And then he says, Umikan Yesh Lomot. Even though we say a birya is not batel, b'teisha meos v'samach batla, in 960 it is batel. The ein lilmon mikan l'shar isurim sha'amru sha'osun b'mashahu. But says the Rashba, even though I'm saying this big chiddush by birya, it doesn't apply to all the other things that are not batel. You don't say all the things that are not batel are batel in 1,000. You don't say that. It's like the things that are aser b'mashu, chametz on Pesach, and davash yesh l'matirin. No, because there the language of Chazal is davash yesh l'matirin afilu be'elef l'batel. But this is different. This is different. U'be'bali chayim v'chulu, and he continues. Other Rishonim say, no. What are you talking about? Right? This is, you compare birya to davash yesh l'matirin, where Chazal say afilu be'elef l'batel. What does this mean? It doesn't mean a birya. What are we comparing this to? We're talking about brine. We're talking about brine. So we're not talking about the actual item. We're talking about probably achbar juice or something that comes out of an achbar. We're not talking about that because after all, if you see the achbar, don't you have to take it out? Right? And if you don't see the achbar, so the whole Shiloh, the Russian Chulin quotes this, but this is the sheet of the Rashba. Rov Rishonim argue on the Rashba and say Abiria afilu be'elef. Afilu be'elef lobatel, that is the, again, the Gra quotes this whole discussion right here, but now we know what it is referring to. Again, the Rush, and the other way to say that this isn't a Raya, is that the Rush quotes a Deya that says, maybe, what is be'achbara? What's that base? Be'achbara. Look at the second day of the Marafolda. The Yesh Omrim achbara shem makom. Achbar is just the name of a place. We're not talking about any kind of achbar. And then the Rashba has nothing to talk about here. If it's just a birya. But either way, this is an important discussion. But this is the locus classicus, as we would say in Latin, of where this sugya. Where would you think that a birya is a batel afilu be'elef? It's this line right here from Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun. Okay, we continue. So says the Gemara. The second day of the Gemara was not one in 960th, but was Rabbi Yehuda, who said a revius in Tusa, which we said is one out of 192. Fine. But the question is, Rabbi Yevo, b'shem Rabbi Yossi, Bar Chanina, the question is, what do we measure? What is Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to have a revius of non-kosher to the Tusa'ah of water. The Tusa'ah, it has to be batel in Tusa'ah of kosher, or the fish brine that is not kosher. Do you count the kosher fish to also be mevatelit? It has to be, right, a revius to a Tusa'ah. Or we said 1 to 192. So that's the measurement that's treif. If you have non-kosher fish, 1 to 192, so is it non-kosher fish to the kosher fish brine, or do you also get to include the kosher fish to be mevatel? So do you put those two together? So that's a mach, two days here in the Gemara. So rova tzir bisasayim tzir. First day is that you only measure a revius of the dag tame, and the tzir that comes out of it, only measure that in the kosher tzir. And you have to add in three words here that the gray is in. Ve'ein dag tohar matzil. We take out the words vahalo, ein tzir, dag tame, it's matzir. We take that out. We put in ve'ein dag tohar matzil. The kosher fish does not combine in order to be mevatel. Doesn't combine to be mevatel. Look at the Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It's the last, third to last line. Rova tzir b'sasayim tzir. Ve'ein dag tohar matzil. Rova b'sasayim. She'amar Rabbi Yehuda. That shear in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have a rova, right? You have a quarter of a lug to two sa'ah. Deliv'til lo amar elabis asayim tzir tzahar. You only measure that to the kosher brine. Aval ein hadogim mitstarfim levater tzil shel tameh. But remember in the Mishnah, we're trying to talk about whether the fish brine is kosher or not. Right? The Mishnah is not talking about the kosher fish. We're worried about the brine that comes out of the liquid that comes out of the non-kosher fish. Is that going to aser the kosher fish brine? So we said that's what the Mishnah is talking about. 1 to 192. So the Gemara is saying here that you only measure it to the brine. V'adogim nikar la'atzman, but the kosher fish you cannot use to be mevatel. V'einon b'ta'aroves im hatzir. You don't look at that as part of the ta'aroves. It's brine to brine, right? You can't use the fish, the kosher fish, in order to help you mevatel. Continue for a minute. We'll go with Argirsa. Rav Chaim Kanievsky and the Gruff flip the next line to be before what we just read, so that the machlokas, the 2 days, are one right after another, but we'll read it as we have it. Amar Rabbi Yavo, chash v'zyaseh karv l'masayim. I did the measurement and it's close to 200. So what do we say? 1 to 192. Okay, that's pretty close to 200. So I did the measurements and it's close to 200. But that's the first day is Rabbi Yavohu. Rabbi Yavohu, in the name of Rabbi Yossi Rechanina, you only measure brine to brine. Right? The non-kosher brine has to be mevutal in the kosher brine. Rabbi Ila, b'shem Rabbi Shimon Barchia, no. Rovatzir b'sasayim dagim vitzir. You can be mevutal it in the brine and the fish. Right, as long as you have 1 to 192, non-kosher brine too, kosher brine and kosher fish, both of those can be mevatel. Also, uvda kumi Rabbi Yoshia, v'hori kein. And again, the second time we have hori on the daf, right? He matered. So it's a machlokas Rabbi Yavo and Rabbi Ila, whether the fish are part of the ta'aroves. Right? How you define a ta'aroves is crucial. You have to know what's included in this ta'aroves. Right? Sometimes you have mixtures in Yaradeya. They have a couple of pieces of meat, right? So is that called a ta'aroves in terms of bittel? Or you also have this in Hilchas Shabbos, right? Ta'aroves is crucial to know up for Hilchas Borer. Hilchas Borer. The first step in Hilchas Borer is to know, is this a Borer situation? Borer is one of those halachas that on the one hand it's very scary. There's very few derabbanans by Borer. It's either Daraisa or Mutter. So Borer is halacha that could be a Daraisa in many cases. But it's one of the scary malachas. But it's also one of the least scary malachas, because in almost every case you can do what you want. You just got to figure out how to do it. In almost every case, you can figure out how to separate in a mutter way. You just have to, you know, it's not like bishul or melabein or shchita or tzoveya. Right? Most of those malachas, you can't do. There's no way to plow on Shabbos. There's no way to cook on Shabbos. But there's a way to separate on Shabbos in a mutter way. Right? You get to one of the three principles of ochel yad or la'alter, right? The three principles of borer. But the first step in ochel's borer is to say, is this a borer situation? And that question is there a tarovis in front of me? If I have a fork and a knife on the table and I see them both clearly and they're not touching each other, that's not a borer situation. Right? There's two things that's not a tarovis. If I have chocolate chip cookies on my plate and they're all chocolate chip cookies and they're all the same, that is not a borer situation. That's not a taroves. A taroves is a mixture. A mixture means two different types of items. Two minim. You have to have two minim for a taroves. Picking some chocolate chip cookies and putting them away for later, that's not borer because they're all chocolate chip cookies. That's not a taroves. Taroves means there's a mixture of two different items. That's the step one, ABCs of borer. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Yud Tes. If you have two different items that are mixed together, So then that is a mixture. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yutes and Arachayim in Siv Gimel. Hayu lefanav shnei minei achlim mu'uravim. You have two types of mixed foods together. Two types of mixed foods. If you don't have two types, so then it's not going to be a problem. Says the, just want to find the Bir Halacha. I think he talks about this here. Yeah, he says two types means it can be both chicken, it can be both cookies. Well, let's say there are cookies, chocolate chip cookies, some with chocolate chips and some with vanilla chips. So that's two types. Either all chocolate chip cookies, two different types of chocolate chips. So just because we call it all chocolate chip cookies doesn't mean it's all the same, right? If it's all socks, a whole big pile of socks, but some are Shabbos socks, some are weekday socks. So that's not min echad. That's a tarovis. What about spoons? Right? So the poskim say, oh, spoons are all one type. What if they're tablespoons and teaspoons? What if they're soup spoons and dessert spoons? Right? So that is a mixture. Right, because there's a different purpose of the items, so that could be a different. That would be a different types. That's what the Rama adds. Ushnei mine dagim mikri shnei mine ochlim. Two types of fish. What if you have roast chicken and fried chicken, and the fried chicken people don't want the roast chicken, and the roast chicken people don't want the fried chicken? Right. So all of these. So the first step is to know that it's a tarovis. You have to know how to define a tarovis. That has to do with the types. It also has to do with how close together they are. Right, if they're separate, right, one of the ways of, let's say you want to set the table. It's Friday night, you just want to wash the silverware, you want to set the table for the next morning. But you have, in your hand, you have forks and knives and spoons. What are you supposed to do? It's, I'm going to take one out. Take one out for what? Okay, take what you want out, okay, but it's for tomorrow. So you don't have the condition of right away, miyad. So that's a problem. So how do you set the table Friday night? So one might say, oh, I'm machber, I don't set the table. Somebody else could do it. No, the Ramosha writes in a tshuva. What do? You take the mixture and you unmix the mixture. That's another way to remove the... There's no malacha of removing, unmixing a taroves. There's a malacha of separating from a taroves. But unmix the mixture. Take the silverware, toss it onto the table. It separates by itself. You've unmixed the mixture. Now there's no longer a taroves. Right? Or, there's another example. Again, there's so many laws of Borer. Let's say somebody has a fly in their soup on Shabbos. So how do you get it out? Just picking out the fly by its wing is a problem of so les mitoch ochel. You're taking the bad from the good. Now that I do that, you got to take the good from the bad right away. So what do? So the poskim say you take out the, as long as you're still going to eat it, right? You take out some soup with the fly. Right, you put your spoon underneath and you get out the soup with the fly and you take the whole thing out. Why is that mutter? Why is that mutter? Because what's the fly mixed in? The taroves, the whole bowl of soup? The soup on the other side of the bowl is mixed with the fly? You would never eat it. Right? You would never eat it. It's only the soup that's just around the fly. That's the mixture. So if you take out the whole thing with the soup around the fly, what have you just done? You've just removed the mixture. You haven't removed from the mixture, you've removed the whole mixture. Right, and therefore, it's also not a malacha. So again, Tarovas comes up in Ilchus Borer, a lot to say there, but again, that's what the issue here is between Rabbi Yavo and Rabbi Ila. Is the fish, is the kosher fish part of the mixture in terms of Ilchus Bittel? Right, again, you don't have to have the same definitions. But that's the, in terms of whether the fish is going to be mevata. So the second day I hear was Rabbi Ila, that the fish is also going to help be mevata. And the Gemara now quotes, but Tani Kane, we have a Brisa, we have a Tosefta that supports Rabbi Ela. Because the Tosefta talks about our case. Talks about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah who says, that, what's the shear, right? A revius to Tusa. Bamet, or Mamurim. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that you need this measurement of 1 to 192? Bisman, Shishole, Rishon. Where you got it mixed in. You're counting out your fish. You're counting out how many fish was in there to know, whether it was batel. You take one out at a time. And you put the fish down in front of you, and you can see how many fish there are. We skip the next three words, but we change the next three words. Umatza bo kashir hazeh. Right? When you took out the fish, you made a pile in front of you, and then you counted it up, and if it's less than 1 to 192, then it's batel. Aval im hayashola rishon umeniach la acharav. But if you're counting out your fish and you throw it behind you, you don't focus in front of you. You take your fish and you throw it behind you. So says the Gemara, afilu yoser mikashir hazeh mutter. That even more than the shear would be mutter. What do you mean? Even, you don't know. You don't know if it's behind you. There's a chance that, I don't know, you could count it up afterwards. Maybe one of the fish like slid away and you don't have the amount that you think you have. Then you can be mekel. But what do you see from this whole Tosefta? The number of kosher fish makes a difference. So you see, like Rabbi Ela, the kosher fish make a difference in terms of the kashrus of the brine, not just the brine to the brine, but it's the brine of the fish to the brine. So that's the raya the Gemara brings. The Gemara just adds in three words, al yedei Ela, through any excuse. What does that mean? Come on, you took out the fish, you put it right behind you, now you're going to turn around. Oh, maybe one slipped away. Oh, no, nothing slipped away. Right? It was right behind you, now you turn around. But because the whole issue here is a din derabanan, remember we said yesterday that the brine is hardly even edible. It's a chumra derabanan about, and we said even like grasshopper brine is totally mutter, even from a non-kosher grasshopper. So brine itself is very iffy, if it should be usher at all. So any little excuse that we could give to a far-fetched possibility will be mekel. So that's what the Gemara says here. But you see, again, you see here the fish is also included. But Aide Ela means, you know, any little possibility is okay. Look at Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Lashon. Mishun tzir dogim eino aser ela midrabanan to midaraisa zeya ba'almaninu. And now we're going to quote two other halachas that have this idea of Aide Ela. It's just a little bit, right? Va'azel siyua de bakama duchti matzinu shitira de Ela. You'll see from the following cases, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that we also have that. So, what are the cases? Totally different areas of halacha. Gevunta ikalkalis. Very hard to know. What is that talking about? What's gevunta ikalkalis? So, we need the mefarshim here. Many different pshatim here. So, we're going to go with Rav Chaim Kanievsky's pshat. Gevunta is the name of a river. The river Gevunta, you know that from, you have to know all of Shas, to know in Chazal, to know that Gevunta is the name of a river. So Gevunta, the name of a river, Ikalkalis got ruined. What does that mean? Ovdei Avodah Zarah bowed down to this river. Well, we know in various times in history that they thought water and river and the ocean were the gods, so they bowed down to this river. So the question is, did they aser the river? Could the idolaters aser the river by bowing down to the river? What do you mean? Because we know Ne'evad is aser Bana. If you have something that is neva, it's a Mishnah Avodah Zarah. Mishnah Avodah Zarah daf mem. If you have something that was worshipped, it's aser bahana. But we also know that's the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah daf mem amid beis. Mem amid beis. Something is worshipped, kolat slamim asurin. That's the name of the third parak. Kolat slamim. Anything that was worshipped is aser bahana. But we also know that something that's mechuba lekarka cannot become nesar. Right, if you bow down to a mountain, right, it's not going to become Nasar. That's generally what we say. Mechubra is not Asar. But the question here is, maybe the idolaters picked up some water and worshipped it. So it was not Mechubar. It was not Mechubar when they worshipped it. So do we have to be worried about that? Gvunti calculus. So Shaul, Rabbi Chagai, Rabbi Ba Bar Zavda. So Rabbi Chagai asked Rabbi Ba Bar Zavda, he asked him this question, do we have to be worried about that they picked up the water and now it's Nassar? So Amar Lay, Rabbi Ba answers, no. Davar shall rob him inu Nassar. It doesn't belong to them. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the Tzibur. And what's the principle of Ein Adam Oser Davar Shein Shelo? Right? They can't answer something that's not theirs. And you have to just add this all in. But they're part of the Tzibur. They're allowed to use it. So add in three words. Al Yedei Ela. It's very far-fetched to say that they took the water out, and and it's really a davar shein shelo. So therefore, with a little bit of of a psak, we could say that it is mutter, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about this this river being ne'asar bihana. Again, a great topic. If you look at Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Gimel, there's a fascinating discussion where the Gemara talks about why is it. Uminalan, where does it start from? Starts from Uminalan da Asra, the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Marav, Zisrael Shakaf Levena Lishakvosla, Avodah Shalom Shakvosla, the Gemara talks about when the Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, right? Why weren't some of the trees Ne'esar? Because all of the idolaters, worshipped it. So the Gemara talks about that, whether it's all. But what does it say in the Torah? Vashirintis Rumba Esh, you got to take the trees and you got to burn them. What do you mean burn them? It's mechubar, ain't the most davar shelo. It's not theirs. It's seber trees. Michdi. The Gemara even says it belongs to us. Yerusha hi lahem avoseim. Eretz Yisrael was given to Avram Avinu. The Ein Adam Osa Davar Sheino Shel, right? Ein Adam Osa Davar Sheino Shel. How could the idolaters that lived in Eretz Yisrael before we went in, how could they ask for the trees? Right? How could they ask for the trees? Says the Gemara. Wow. Once the Bnei Yisrael bowed down to the Egel, they showed that Avodah Zarah wasn't so bad in their eyes. And therefore, Memela, it was as if they told the guy, yeah, Nichali. Nichali that you bow down to all these trees. And that's why they became Usar, and that's why you have to burn them. Unbelievable. Mitapalchu Yisrael la'egel golu datayu. The Nichalu b'avodas kochavim. V'chiyasu avodei kochavim. Shlichusa ditu avdi. Wow. They did the shlichus once they showed that Nichalai. That's the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, Daf and Gimel. A lot of amazing elements to that Gemara, but that's related to our Gemara right here. Okay, one more section of Ela. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi Omar. Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi related the following. Rabbi Yitzchak Shaal, V'ilein Igrisa. These letters. What is it, Igrisa? Gittin. You have Gittin. Lo Gaius Lucas Ksiv Behen. Sometimes you'll have a get that comes into court, and there are these non-Jewish names of the Edip that are signed on them. You have Gaius and Lucas, right? Va'at Amrit and Shekosher, right at the end of that word. How are these kosher? Right, you have these non-Jewish names signed on the get. We're going to say it's kosher. So the Gemara answers again, Al Yedei Ela. Yeah, because 99% that it's kosher. Sometimes Jews have non-Jewish names. Right, and the Gemara in the Bavli in Gittin Yud Aleph and the Mefarshim say maybe that's what we're talking about here is maybe it depends if they're Jews from Chutz La'aretz or Jews from Eretz Yisrael. Jews from Chutz La'aretz, the Gemara says in Gittin Yud Aleph, they have non-Jewish names. Therefore, you can assume if you get a get from there and it's signed by Lucas, right, and it's signed by Jis or other names like that. So then we could still assume that they are. They're Shemos Nachrim, but they are Jewish Edim, and therefore we could rely on it. Again, that's a big sugya about non-Jewish names. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about the Magen Mishnah had a non-Jewish name. The Rambam's father, Lachor, had a non-Jewish name. You know, some of the names that we have even in the Gemara. So again, there's a big discussion. Rav Moshe Feinstein has, right, Shloshinu Hashmam. Right, Shloshinu Hashmam. How do we put that together with that? So Ramosha, I think Ramosha has the chiddush that maybe non-Jewish names were even more serious of a problem pre-Matan Torah, because we didn't have the Torah to separate us. So what was going to separate us? A part of it was our name. But Lachar Matan Torah, it's a little more flexible, because now we have the Torah to separate us. And Rav Asher Weiss writes about that, and others write about it. That's a chiddush gadol to suggest that. But either way, this is in terms of the non-Jewish names found on a get. Okay, we'll have to stop there by Hayed. And next off, we'll talk about two lines about grasshoppers, and then we'll talk about other items as we continue here. Two daf left to the 10th parak of Maseches Truma.